from the CVA with the batteries if necessary.
Okay.
Okay, now John, I'd like to talk to you about the fender fix.
Okay, hold on for 30 seconds. Hey, while John's talking to me, why don't you check my biomet out? We're going left.
Okay, fine. We'll take a check. Gino, let me ask you one question here on the on Jack's water, on his plus water cell. We're showing about 3 pounds too much water in the LEM system, and we're wondering if you got the octane filled up in Jack's plus. Two questions. Were you sure to have the oxy valve open? And did you see good clear water in the tank gauge with no bubbles after the fill?
I guess we'd have to say yes to those questions, but if you've got a question on it, we can go through it again. I'd rather do that than take a chance.
Let me make sure we want to do that. While we're making sure, I check with both home fronts, Nassau Bay and Tucson are both in good shape. Gino Tracy upstaged you for about 30 minutes last night on local TV during her own interview there, and threw everybody away from watching TV. EVA during that time. She did very well.
Yeah, that sort of figures. Hey, Gordo, why do you say Jack Cliff? Did you see the water drop in the lamp when we charged mine?
It was the profile of the water quantity as you were filling both pluses, and it was the fill during Jack's fill that looked suspicious, like just maybe 3 pounds less than I should have been flow when you were filling Jack.
Yeah, well, you know, it's only passive as to know whether or not you got it filled. I sure don't want to go out there and have him just have some partial water, so let's do the conservative thing.
Okay, I'll verify that. There was some drinking water going out at that time, too, which muddles up the data a little bit, so we're not absolutely certain on that.
Okay, we weren't drinking water while we were filling the flip, however. Okay, you come up with what you think best on that, and I'm ready to copy John.
Okay, Gino, I don't think you need to copy this.
You want to
sort of just ad lib it. With your four chronotape maps, tape two maps and allow about a 1-inch overlap to a 15-inch by 10.5-inch configuration. That's an estimate. And then repeat with two other maps, and then tape both the two maps, now four maps, tape them together, and you'll end up with a sheet that's about 15 inches by 19 inches, a sheet of chronotape. And then tape both sides of it, the overlapping edges, to strengthen it, and you can further strengthen it if you tape up an edge of tape across both sides of it. And then on the roll up on the long axis and secure it with a strip of tape and put it in the ETB. And on that strip of tape you secure it with, be sure and leave a tab on the end of it so you can get it off with your gloves. And then remove clamps from both the utility light units and open the clamp jaws to max. And then tighten the mounting bracket that you've got on it so it can swing around. And sew the clamps in the ETB. You got that, Gene?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then now you've got everything you need, and it's all put together and all ready to be fastened to the rover. And then when you get the ETB in the seat, you unroll the chronopaque sheet, and you locate the front edge with a long axis fore and aft, even with the axle. And you lay the edge of the sheet over the inboard guide rail, and you clamp it. You lay the other edge of the sheet over the outboard guide rail and clamp it. And as I said, the inboard clamp must be directly over the axle to avoid interference while steering. And tighten the clamp securely, both of them. And then while you're driving around out there by yourself, it'd be good if Jack could take a look at it and see if you're getting any unusual dynamics. And at station two, you should inspect the fender for any unusual wear that might have been caused by this mass out there on the fender of those clamps bouncing up and down. one thing about it, doing it in a suit, Gene,
okay.
You have to push in with your leg and hold a, and it's sort of a two-handed job, and I'm not sure in 1/6G if you can position the fender, the pseudo fender on there without Jack, say, holding on to the long end behind the rover so that it won't fall off. It works okay in 1G for one man, but I'm not sure it's not a 2G proposition, the two-man proposition in 1/6, over.
Okay, we'll take a look at it, babe.
Okay, and you really have to bear down to get those
I just,
things on a dovetail there.
I just want to make sure of the geometry now. We want to put the, take two of those stages and put the 10-inch side together overlapping, right?
Yes, sir.
Then take two more and put the 10-inch side together overlapping, right?
That's true.
And then take those two pieces you've got now and put them end to end so you got the long along fender. Right? Sounds right to me. Sound right to you?
Well, you end up with all four pieces in a big rectangle. You see what I'm saying? You've got a 15-inch by 19-inch sheet of paper.
Yeah, we got it, John.
Okay.
Count the overlap and everything. If you had no overlap, I guess you'd have about 16 by 20.
That's correct. But you need to overlap, and taping both sides of it gives it more strength, which you need in that situation. You just want to make sure it's not more than an inch, or you won't have enough to cover up those dovetails.
Okay, babe, we're going to work on it right now.
Jack, Gene, this is Gordo again. On the push guide, we're recommending you hook up Jack, and according to the decal, go right ahead and stand by one. Okay, go by the decal and do the full 5 minute fill on Jack's quest. It'll take that long to get the ox tank filled up if it was indeed empty. And maybe that's something you can start and work on the paper taping there.
Okay. Okay, Gordy, I started. I'm on step 4 on the decal, step 5 on the decal.
Okay, Jack. John Covington advises that the sight gauge is not a certain indicator that you're filled, and so we're just going to go by time to be sure and kind of disregard the sight gauge readings as a positive indication anyway.
Okay, I understand that from the past, that we went exactly by time before. We'll try it again here.
Okay.
Okay, Gordy, is that about 5 minutes?
Stand by, see if anybody timed you here. That's firm, 5 minutes now.
Okay, step 7 is complete.
Okay, and we did not see any water flow to speak of, so it probably was full.
Yeah, the condensate indications here were that it was full.
Okay, but it's better to be sure.
No question.
Gino, this is Houston. We want to be sure to have one look at your biomed before you get into the suit, in case something's wrong with it. And if you go right by the checklist, we'll miss that look. So when you get to a convenient point, if you can go to left and have us take a look at it, we'd appreciate it.
Gordy, apparently you okay, stand by. I called it out, but I didn't give it to you. Stand by. Okay, now it's yours.
Okay. Okay, that looks good, Gino. You can press on with the suiting operation there.
Okay. Call me the little old fender maker.
Roger.
S-band voice, going to voice.
Roger. Jack, Houston, with respect to the plus water fill, last thing we heard you say was doing step 7. We just want to verify that you did go ahead and do step 8, which is connect the waste management system to the plus aux vent for 10 seconds. Over.
Yes, that was all done, Gordy. We just got sidetracked, and I didn't call you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Apollo Control at 138 hours, 59 minutes. America is in its 26th revolution. Up over the ocean of storms now. All going well with Ron Evans, the lunar sounder experiment being performed and Ron taking a lot of pictures. This is Apollo Control. Bob Overmeyer is the America Capcom. Stu Russa is sitting there with him. Bob Parker will be the Challenger Capcom for the EVA. Gordon Fullerton has stayed over a little from his shift, getting ready to leave now, and John Young is at the Capcom console also. Chuck Lewis is the flight director for America. Pete Frank, the flight director for Challenger.